up at me.
Can't finish a sentence around here.
Oh, whatever.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I never have that problem.
But the movie,
I don't know, I never get interrupted at all.
Give me more loving than I've ever had. Make it all better when I'm feeling sad. Tell me that I'm special even when I know I'm not. Make it feel good when I hurt so bad. Barely getting mad, I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you. You make it easy. It's easy as...
Is it this song? Is that what does it? Because I'll play this song all the time.
What?
What?
I'm not doing anything.
There's only one way to say those three words, and that's what I'll do. I love you.
I love you, baby.
I love you.
Well, welcome to today's show.
Howdy, y'all. Happy Friday.
Is it Friday?
It's Friday.
It's Friday. We made it.
Yay.
The Lord did.
That's not a good thing.
The Lord didn't come back yet.
That's not a good thing.
Well, it is for those people who haven't been saved yet.
Oh, well, that's true.
There you go. See?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
save myself on that one.
Yeah.
If he did come back yet, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. It's kind of a little bittersweet, isn't it?
If you're listening to this.
Because we're not here anymore.
You need to know.
We're gone. So.
The way. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but
through
him.
And if Jesus did come back before...
And he did come, and he died for your sins so that you could be a new creature in Christ.
Sorry.
All you have to do is confess.
Not yet.
And believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you.
Absolutely. Finished? If the Lord did come back, I would like to make this important announcement that this will be the last Two Blind Squirrels show ever.
Yeah, because we're not here.
Because, yeah.
We're not here anymore.
If the Lord didn't come back, there'll be some more next
week. Then we'll have some more. That's how you know.
But, yeah.
Well, we could mess
that's,
with them.
Well, that's a major show announcement.
We could mess with them.
Can mess with them. Have no show on Monday. You're mean. You know what? You're mean.
When I was a kid, like, I couldn't find my mom or something, and nobody was around. I'd be running around like in summer, and there's not a single soul to be found. And I'd be like,
the Lord came back.
What happened? What if my mom got taken after that behind?
I never saw that movie, The Happening. Everybody's supposed to disappear or something like that. You okay?
Stretching.
Oh, okay. So, very distracting. So, yeah.
What were you talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got distracted. So,
No, wait.
What?
There was something else. Don't start.
No. What happened?
People coming back, not here. A major
disappearing.
I lost it.
The Happening.
Can I plug something first?
Sure.
The 3-minute Bible study. If you're not involved in a Bible study currently at all,
you should be. First of all.
Well, you know you should be. That, I don't have to tell you. She doesn't need to tell you that. You don't need to tell them that.
I don't.
No, they know that.
Just checking.
If you're not involved in a Bible study, you know you should be. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Right.
It's important.
Now, I know you were involved in one. Or you think you're involved in one, but you hadn't done it in like 2 months. And
but
you really
that's
didn't
not
do
being
it,
involved
and
in
And you
one.
Really didn't do it the 2 months before that. No. You only did it like for a week and then you quit. But you plan on going back to it. Okay, you're not involved in
that's
the Bible
not
study.
Involved.
And there's that other one that you're going to start that your cousin gave you for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The yearly Bible that you've read 3 days this year. You're really not involved in a Bible study. Okay. So if you're not in a Bible study, and I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying those who are not in a Bible study. Okay. All right. The 3-minute Bible study is for you. If you've already got a Bible study, this is something extra. Right? This is not a replacement for anything you got going. Okay,
no, this is just a little snippet of a Bible study.
3-minute Bible study. It is specifically designed. I can say that word. I've never been able to say that word before. Specifically designed. The Lord's speaking through me. That word's always tripped me up.
Very good. Keep going then.
Where was I going?
Run with it.
Yeah. To encapsulate 3 minutes of your time. It's about 3 verses, sometimes as little as 2 verses, and sometimes it's 4, but if they're short. But it's a few verses to read, and then 2 or 3 questions. It's not a devotional. There is no devotional. Warning, this is not a devotional. This is not our daily bread. Mm-mm. Okay. I'm not going to tell you any cute story about what my kid did yesterday. Mm-mm. It's 3 or 4 verses and 2 or 3 questions. Now, sometimes there's a challenge question that's optional. You don't have to do that. And you don't have to answer the questions at all. If you read the questions and go, what? Then just write something down. You know, I don't want to say write what this passage means to you, because I just said the other day that that was not a good thing to do.
Right.
But you can make a comment there of this passage. I think this passage speaks to this or that or the other. Right. You can write like a sentence about the passage, or just put this passage in your own words. The point is just to say you're there and to, you know, sort of record that you did it. It's at mylifeministries.org, and you just click on 3-Minute Bible Study. It'll take you right there. And that's all you really need to know about it. And you can just jump in wherever. You don't have to, you know, it's going on every day. Every weekday I put one out. It goes on 5 days a week.
Okay.
And then sometimes at the end of a chapter, I'll have a review day where we kind of review that chapter. And I still try to keep that very short. I don't know if it's really 3 minutes. It may take you 5 if you do the whole review, but I try to keep it 3. And, you know, if you can stop at 3, I won't be mad. So,
yeah. And you could just keep going, and that'd be great.
What?
I mean, if you just kept you studying.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to, which leads into what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, okay.
Because I think when we finish with Romans, I'm going to jump over and do Habakkuk. Yeah, that word.
Or Habakkuk. Depends on who you are. Habakkuk.
Yeah, if I can find it in the Bible, I think we're going to do that one. So, if you're wondering,
it's right after Nahum. If you can find that in the Bible, you might be able to find Habakkuk. Nahum.
Anyway, you go to Matthew and back up,
and then Zephaniah.
Yeah, you go to Matthew and you back up. And you'll find it.
It's Zechariah.
It's within like 10 pages there.
And then like it's just right before Malachi. And Malachi's right before Matthew. So if you just move back up.
Yes, I said. Go to Matthew and back up.
Just saying. That you do.
Sure. So this Sunday, the preacher preached a sermon.
Yes, he did.
Which I think is an important sermon, and which I'm going to publish this weekend. And
the sermon I titled in my notes was Our Nation Under Judgment.
He has made the proclamation that he thinks our nation is under judgment.
No, he was told by the Lord.
He was told by the Lord that our nation is under judgment.
In prayer for our nation, the Lord spoke to him.
Right. And I don't take this lightly.
No, I do not.
And I don't think anybody should ever take it lightly when somebody says, thus saith the Lord. Mm-mm. In the Old Testament, that was a death sentence if you said, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord didn't say it thus.
Yes.
So, now I don't think he's in fear of his life on this earth, but I do respect the man enough to know that he does fear the Lord.
Yes, he does.
And he would not say, thus saith the Lord, because he's more scared of God than he is us stoning him. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't think he took this lightly. And I
find it interesting that, you know, he said this, because I don't know if you probably don't know this, because I probably haven't mentioned it to you, but for the past, months.
Yes.
6 months. If you look through my journal and through my Bible study notes,
yes,
it'll say, "Our nation is our nation under judgment? Is this a judgment that's happening?
We've been reading this theme.
It's this recurring theme over and over in my note. And I thought it was so funny that he says our nation is under judgment, because I'd made the statement kind of shaky statement, because I'm thinking I don't really know, and you know, it was just interesting that he came out.
Well, anyway, we've been studying Daniel, we've been studying Isaiah at church. And so we've been thinking a little bit about this. But he doesn't make this statement as far as the economy is concerned. I think he's really more concerned with what's going on spiritually.
Yes.
In the country. And I don't mean the pastor. I mean the Lord.
Right. The economy is just a sign.
So he says, the pastor says this morning that there are four signs. Is it four signs, I believe, that a nation is under judgment?
Six.
What?
I have six.
There's pestilence.
Famine.
Famine.
Wars.
Wars.
Crooked or corrupt politicians.
I don't remember that one.
Money problems.
Okay.
prophetic words from God's people. And then
the fourth one is that there's always a prophetic message from the Lord.
Now, he may have put money, because money was kind of in with famine, because famine could famine is not just lack of food. I mean, that is part of what famine is, but it could be famine of wisdom.
Yes.
Famine of food, famine of money.
Yes.
So he kind of put those two things in. That's the one that makes it four. Yeah, famine of resources, yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, so now here was the good news. The Lord said to him that not all Americans are under judgment. Not all families are under judgment. Not all
churches
are under judgment. But America itself is under judgment as a nation. So I think that it could be debated, of course. I mean, I think that that could be debated.
Well, however, but just like in the Old Testament,
but
it's the same thing. But when a country is under judgment, or when a group of people are under judgment, even if there are some people among them, there's going to be some casual, you know, there's going to be some innocent. It's just part of it. Mm-hmm. Everybody who is
collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Thank you. Yes.
But God is just with the individuals. But the point is that somebody stood in front of me from the pulpit today and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Mm-hmm. Now, we don't live in the Old Testament.
No.
Okay. So I'm not sure really what this means.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure that God still deals in the terms of putting nations under judgment.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I've never thought about it, and I can make cases for it off the top of my head that, you know, Germany, you can say Israel, and you can follow its, you know, the Holocaust and the coming back in the 1948 and the regathering, and you can follow, you can follow Europe through its socialism trends and what's happened in society due to that. And I think that there is an ongoing consequence of if you do this, this is going to happen.
Continue in your sin.
Mm-hmm. But for God to actually just get fed up with a nation, I don't know if he deals with nations anymore like that. I mean, we're in the church age.
Yeah, so, but in the end Holy times, he deals with nations like that.
But here's what really stuck out to
Why
me.
Why wouldn't he now? I mean, Revelation is full of him speaking of dealing with nations and peoples.
It's very true.
Why would he not do that now?
I haven't thought this through. I'm confessing up front.
I disagree with you. I really think he does.
You can disagree with me because I hadn't thought it. I'm not making a statement. I'm saying I don't know.
Okay.
You can disagree with the fact that I don't know.
Okay, you're saying you don't know? Okay.
I'm saying I don't know. Right.
I believe he does.
But my point is, somebody stood in front of me and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and made a proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
That means they are either a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He's placed himself
in a position
because he's either now a false prophet,
yep,
or a man, you know, a man speaking the words of God to me.
Right.
And saying very serious things.
We must not take that lightly.
And saying very serious things. Mm-hmm.
And we must look at those things and examine them for ourselves.
And judge them against the word of God. And so anyway, that's why I'm republishing this on Sunday, because I want to, I want it to be open there. Also, he said that we are to pray for repentance. Now, this is an interesting concept because, and I'm sure I've been told it several times, but it's like one of these things that you hear and you hear and you hear, and then
one day you hear it.
Well, the Lord opened my ears this morning, pray for repentance. See, I've always heard you should pray repentance. You should be repentant. You should, you should humble yourself and repent of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard you should pray for repentance, mm-hmm, because repentance is a gift of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, he went to Second Chronicles where it says that, where he says that, repentance is a gift of God. And so you should pray for a repentant heart. You should pray for the spirit of repentance. And I thought that was very interesting. I'm like, hey, you know what? That's that, whether or not anything else he said, you know, mm-hmm, is really from God or not, that's still in the Bible, and that's still, that's still valid. So I started from there, and I think that is a good thing to pray for, not just for me, but for this country. He talked about the number one export in this country as of last year, I believe, passed whatever the old one was.
It's pornography.
It's pornography. The number one is pornography. And I think about that, and I was like, yeah, you know, I really believe it. And here's the other thing is that what other nations consider pornography a lot of times is not what we consider pornography. Mm-hmm. I mean, we export pornography in a lot of ways, and some of it's just on television.
Yeah. Do you remember that quote that he made of President Lincoln's, his quote about the bullets and the blood and from the beating of the slaves?
He says, "If it's God's judgment for there to be as much bloodshed in this war as we have caused through slavery,
mm-hmm. and on the blood that was shed on the back
of slavery
of yeah. slaves,
then if that's God's judgment, then so let it be." Mm-hmm. And anyway, and so, and he said that Lincoln confessed that he thought that the
Civil War was a judgment.
Which is a judgment of God. Mm-hmm. And which makes sense.
For the slavery, and yeah.
You know, it makes sense. I'm sure that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And he did make a statement. I don't remember who said this. I didn't write down, but sin weakens and finally destroys a man, but also a nation mm-hmm. as a whole.
But he also said that it wouldn't, he said, the Lord, there may not be many that really have a true repentant heart. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said it won't take many.
Right.
And you can go back through history, and I think that is definitely in the Bible. Where Lot, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know,
Noah,
I mean, it doesn't take many. Mm-mm. And if you look, even in Daniel's day, he delivered Daniel. He delivered mm-hmm. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. And you know. And so even when the nation is under judgment, or the world is under judgment, there is still a time. And that's why I think in the Great Tribulation, I don't think that the Christians are going to go through it, because never in the Bible have mm-mm. we had to.
No.
The mm-mm. true believers, the remnant,
mm-hmm. have always been
taken out. Right.
Second Thessalonians, it's not for us to.
It's not for us to be given. We are not, what was it, wrath? What
is yeah, it? The wrath, it was not for you to be given over to wrath.
So anyway, Habakkuk was a great, so it's a short book. It's like three chapters.
Well, he started out in 2 Chronicles 7, mm-hmm. 12 to 14.
Go ahead.
12 to 15, actually. I went to 15. He said, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, and this was when he appeared to Solomon, when he'd finished the temple.
Yes.
And he was in the dedication of the temple. And the Lord said to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered to this place. And I just thought he spent a lot of time on when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I command the locusts to devour the land. Yeah. He's in control.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of naturalist Christians out there, and they've got that way. You know, I was one, and they've gotten that way, honestly, through the universities and through, mm-hmm. you know, through mm-hmm. the scientific universities, mm-hmm. is that, you know, God is the great watchmaker. He set everything in control, and he can miraculously intervene if he want to. And I think a lot of Christians believe that God can miraculously intervene, but on a normal basis, he doesn't control the weather patterns. He doesn't control the locusts. You know, those are things that he does every, you know, he does every, he sends the locusts, he sends the rain, he withholds the rain, he withholds the locusts. So that's what the Bible teaches anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then in Habakkuk, I had notes, you know, just that waiting on God in prayer, that when I'd studied Habakkuk, well, however you want to pronounce it, Habakkuk, just about pouring out your heart to God. And that's what he did. He complained. He said, you know, and I've got, you know, be honest and then write down your concerns and wait mm-hmm. on the Lord.
Yeah.
And all of these references to the New Testament.
I love the part where, if you read Habakkuk, it starts off Habakkuk being very afraid.
Yeah. How long must I call for help? And you don't listen.
Yeah. And he starts off there. Mm-hmm. And then he starts off saying, you know, when are you going to judge this nation? And yeah. then the Lord says, well, I'm going to judge it. And then he's like scared. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end.
Yeah. You get to the end in chapter three.
Just three chapters. He starts praising the Lord.
He
spends the last chapter basically praising the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And yet, so, I hear the progression. chapter 3, like in 17, where he talks about the progression of the fig tree doesn't bud and there's no grapes in the vines, and it progresses, then the olive, the crop fails, the fields don't produce food, then there's no cattle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. I mean, there's nothing. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. With all this loss that just happened ahead of me, before me, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to go on the heights.
So if my pastor is right, and I don't assume for y'all just take that for granted, because y'all don't know him, and y'all don't know his fear for the Lord, but if he's right, our response is to pray for repentance, to pray for repentance, and a spirit of repentance, and... Oh, sorry about that. And to praise him as judgment falls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we lose our jobs. I mean, I know this isn't easy. I'm not saying it is. And who am I to say? I still have my job, but I don't know how long it's going to last. But I pray y'all remind me of this stuff when I start whining. But, you know, if judgment falls on us, we need to continue to praise the Lord. We need to pray for repentance, and we need to praise the Lord, and he will deliver us.
Stand on his name.
You know, if I starve to death, if my family starves to death, my job is to praise the Lord. Mm. That's going to be hard.
Yeah, my dad tells lots of stories about the recession in the 80s, which he says is much worse than the recession now. That's what my dad says.
Well, see, here's the thing. The recession just started because they're just fixing to start printing the money now.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
This is a planned recession. Yeah. This is one that's being forced upon
us. Yeah, they're making this worse than it has to be. However, my dad, he'd tell stories over and over and over during that recession. He said it was so bad that it got to the point where he prayed one Sunday morning, I need a job. I need, Lord, you need to send me, I need work. There was just no work. There was a building recession. It was bad. Mm-hmm. And he had two houses. And he went to church. And this guy who he'd never met before came up to him after church was over and said, I got a big job I need you to do. I need you. Could you come over this afternoon and take a look at it? And, oh, okay.
Yes, there you go.
So he went over, and it kept him busy for 3 months all the way through the winter. Yeah. And it wasn't just a little job. It was a big job that, you know, God provides. He just, and my dad has story after story. Does he not?
Oh, yeah.
Of God providing. I mean, he prays, God provides. It's amazing. I don't know how. I guess that the Lord has blessed me with parents with great faith, and thank the Lord for that.
Absolutely.
They've been shown praise his grace and faithfulness many times.
I praise the Lord for the example of Dr. Miller. I praise the for the example of your parents. I praise the Lord for the example of Dr. Anderson, who spoke these words this morning. So, all right, well, this wasn't a very fun show, but judgment and death and everything is...
I read today
not funny.
When I was sitting outside.
When you want to hit me with a hammer again?
Nope. When I was sitting outside, I was reading. I kind of sat down and just started reading Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
And, it wasn't. That wasn't what I was reading. I did read that, but that was what I was focusing on. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, I know. It was Psalm 90, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And I've prayed that many times for Brad, but I prayed that just for Christians as a whole to, you know, that his favor would rest upon us and that we... Our work would be established. His work in us would be established. And that is always comforting to me, especially when I'm in a situation where I don't know what comes next. What's the next step, Lord? What do you got for me? But I want to be in his will. I want his work to come through me, because otherwise there's really no point. So there you go.
There you go.
It's all for him.
That's what you get when Chipmunk doesn't call in. All right. Well, what is it? What is our prayer? Lean not on our understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge
him. And he will make your paths straight.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
All right. Well, Let's see if I can find my way out of this.
Was that Proverbs 3:8? Is that it?
Thank you all. Had a great week.
Something like that.
Enjoyed it. Hope that you guys enjoyed it. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
We are going to meet Kidge.
Yeah. We're having Kidge date night from with Kidge and his
we're
wife.
Having date night with Kidge.
Yeah.
If you would like to have date night with the squirrels, come to Dallas.
We will. Well, people and have before, but we haven't always gone.
Well, there's only one. Only one. That was, what's his name? From the Clifford. From the Jesus Geeks.
He's the tall, skinny one?
Right.
Okay.
Well, he's the skinny one anyway.
Oh, okay.
They're both freakishly large. Trees, I think. Anyway, he was the only one we didn't meet, and that was because it couldn't make it work.
Yeah. We tried.
We tried, but we just couldn't make it work. But we've met everybody else that's wanted to meet, and we got somebody else coming, too. We got, I don't even know his,
Dallas
I can't think of his real name right now, but it's Daddy Sir or Sir Daddy or something like that. I'll have to look up his real name.
All righty, then.
Anyway, there he is. Daddy Sir 4. What's his name? Oh.
He's wanting to get together?
He doesn't list his real name here.
Ow.
Oh, sorry.
He's wanting to get together?
He's from Media PA.
Oh.
He's the guy from Media PA. Who's that? From Media PA? Scott from Media PA?
Scott?
Yeah.
This is Scott from Media PA.
Yeah, I guess that's who it is.
Huh. Interesting. Oh,
that's Skeeter. Vios Condios.
John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he be born a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.